E3 special coming up. Intro time. Prepare for an innovative and game-changing episode like none ever before. This is the best podcast. The podcast every other podcast wants to be, coming directly from our kitchen table to you. The Geeks Codex Direct.
It's going to be a year late, to be very clear.
Coming up on our podcast presentation regarding the greatest show of all time this year.
No, it's a year late.
It's E3. It's going out the same, like, 2 days after
Shut
this
the fuck up. No, it's going to be a year late.
Stop interrupting my well-prepared intro.
No, it's very important that everybody understand you are definitely listening to this from 2020.
Listen, you are definitely ruining the fact that I watched an actual Unraveled episode without you about E3 to get the entire formula of E3 down.
Did I get you into Unraveled?
You made me watch like a couple of episodes. I figured it out. I followed the formula. This is the formula. We've got the most direct, most fantastic presentation coming up. On this presentation, we'll talk about all the things that we saw at E3, like live music performances, special celebrity guests.
You know, I didn't watch E3. I just read Twitter.
Well, you don't watch E3 because this is our presentation. And joining us on our presentation this year to bring E3 directly from us to you, we have editor Paul Stevens, editor extraordinaire of many productions that you might remember. Run the reel! Paul, welcome to the presentation.
Keanu Reeves.
Excellent. And more amazing soundbites like that coming up. We also have the fantastic James Cook, known from things such as...
Black Knight was almost, sometimes, occasionally entertaining.
And...
What would Skylynx do?
End this episode.
I wish you'd do me.
James, welcome to the presentation.
I'm coming to you from 2020.
Excellent. That's the future. Because we're innovative and game-changing and future-thinking. And we also have independent, brand-new, studio-developed that no one else will bring you because it's...
She's got 10,000 polygons.
Ashley Pearson, welcome to the presentation.
What the hell has happened in this entire thing?
She's dead now. We killed her with our innovation.
Game changing.
Is this the bit where you do a pre-recorded scripted playthrough demo?
This is the bit where the machine crashes.
And now let us bring directly to you. Here is this clip of the podcast. Clip. Isn't that just amazing? Synergy.
So basically,
polygons, cloud performance.
So basically what you're saying is our new format is just us pretending to be Brian David Gilbert.
And if you couldn't see us, we are currently wearing gamer business casual. Diesel jeans, gamer tee,
okay.
Loosely fitting blazer.
You know
blazer.
What? I came here wearing slacks, a t-shirt and a blazer, and I didn't do it on purpose because I didn't want to wear a coat. But I needed a jacket because it's fucking like 9:45. But I guess I am just that synergized.
Game changing. Welcome to podcast, folks. We're doing an E3 special, which me and Paul do every single year and definitely don't release on time, apart from this time, which is still not on time because E3 happened ages ago.
It's 2020 now.
So, E3 happened. Presentations. Microsoft. Nintendo. Devolver Digital.
No
Square
Sony.
Enix.
No Sony.
Ubisoft. No Sony. No Sony.
No Sony.
No, no Sony. No Sony! No! No, you're not allowed one.
After Detroit being human, we have exiled you.
Not just that, but after a 5 to 10 minute banjo performance and a 15 minute scene change, expelled from E3.
But on the other hand, shouldn't we give Sony some goodwill for that one time when they fucking upstaged Sony by just announcing their fucking price range for the PlayStation 1 and then leaving?
When Sony upstaged Sony.
Sega, yeah. Sorry.
That's how good they were.
They upstaged themselves.
No, because the iconic E3 thing is Sega being all like, oh, we're releasing the Saturn, and then Sony just comes up and is like, the PlayStation is going to cost this much, and then they just left.
Yeah, which is unlike that time where they announced when the PlayStation
A
3 was going to cost.
So, yeah, we had all those people at E3 this year. I really enjoyed it. I've got many thoughts on many games and many things that happened on E3. So I want to kick off our E3 special episode by talking about my 3 favorite things, but not going into any depth and just saying, go look at them. Number one, so in order of best to not best, but still amazing. Number one, Keanu Reeves, you're breathtaking.
Is really going to be breathtaking.
You're breathtaking.
You're breathtaking. You're all breathtaking.
That moment.
Incredibly pure.
One of my favorite moments.
And I am the one fucking outlier who is just like, no, cyberpunk looks shit. But Keanu Reeves, though.
We'll get to the cyberpunk bit.
But Keanu Reeves is pure and wonderful.
Absolutely fantastic. Second best moment, Ikumi Nakamura introducing Ghostwire Tokyo.
Yes, she's...
She's adorable.
Wow, wow, wow. Was so many people. Wow. Thank you. Arigato gozaimasu.
I'm so proud of her because she's like been doing all of this mentorship stuff and then she was introducing her own game and she was so excited and she's so beautiful and I love her.
Wholesome and spooky.
Spooky.
And finally, not a single moment from a presentation, but an entire presentation. That presentation being the fucking genius that is Devolver Digital.
That entire
24 minutes, of which 8 minutes was actual games, and the rest of it was one long RoboCop ripoff that ends with a Terminator ripoff. I love everything about Devolver. They're the only ones that seem to still have fun.
That's the thing. Devolver just have fun. Like, their games are mostly fun, and they're fun. It was a delight.
They announced an arcade machine in their presentation, yes. And they weren't joking. Enter the Gungeon, House of the Gundead. I will get one eventually.
Ooh, one thing I will say. I never got the chance to play Enter the Gungeon, but it was free on the Epic Game Store, so now I own it.
There you go. And honorary mention goes to everything possible to do with the game Maneater.
I didn't see that one, actually.
Last year I loved it, and this year I still love it. I can't wait to play it. It's GTA If You Were a Shark.
Oh, is that the shark joke? Because yes. I saw a lot of people making shark jokes.
Yes, it's awesome.
So again, disclaimer, I didn't, quote-unquote, watch E3. I just have a Twitter feed. So mostly what I know is that Breath of the Wild 2 got announced, and the thing about, what's the Hernet game actually called?
Ghostwire Tokyo.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes. Did anyone, bar me, actually watch all of E3?
No.
No, I have a life.
Did anyone watch any of E3 live?
No. I was Briggy, I was literally at work.
Well, some of it you weren't.
I mean...
A good portion of it happened in the middle
I was
of the
doing
night.
Actually, no, that week I was doing a lot of overtime, so...
Like, for GMT, it was Microsoft first at, like, 8 p.m, then it was Bethesda at... 1:30 a.m.
Briggy,
that day.
Some of us want to sleep.
Yeah, Briggy, when I was doing overtime for a week, I got home and I fell asleep and slept for 12 hours.
Oh, you could have fallen asleep to the dulcet tones of not Reggie Fils-Aimé this year.
One thing I will also say, we had that really, really cute introduction where, no, you're the wrong Bowser.
Yeah, that
Nintendo,
was...
Basically, what I'd like to say is, my completely unprofessional opinion is that Nintendo won E3. Because their actual presentation was a really good mix of fun, but also like actual trade industry information. Because a lot of like the weird thing about E3, and this is ripping off Brian David Gilbert again, is that it's a trade show that gets watched by random people online.
I agree with you, and no, they were the second place of this year's E3. Like I mentioned before, the winners, the true winners of E3 were Devolver
Bethesda.
Digital. No, no, they were not. Although, and I will point this out, the Bethesda conference happened 4 hours after I published the last episode, episode 10 of the Geeks Codex podcast, in which we talked about Game of Thrones, and you asked me, how would have ended Game of Thrones? And I made the one long joke about more dragons. Give us more dragons. 4 hours before Bethesda made the same goddamn joke about everything they make requires more dragons. So I am better than Todd Howard.
But did
confirmed.
Did they announce another port of like Skyrim? Is it going to graphing calculators now?
No, but they're bringing Elder Scrolls Blades, the phone game, to Switch for free.
I didn't know that existed.
Yeah.
You have a mobile, don't you?
I do.
Oh, Blizzard. They weren't there this year.
Wonder why.
They got their own convention, so they can disappoint us all over again.
Well, apparently Overwatch 2 is happening, which you never even got the story going in Overwatch 1. I assume they didn't show up to E3 out of embarrassment.
Well, they got BlizzCon, and the same reason Sony's not showing up to E3 anymore, because they've got their own convention thing going on, and Nintendo just do them all year round.
It's definitely because everybody was like, you published Detroit Being Human, and so you have to go in the shame corner with the shame hat.
Detroit Being Human isn't that bad of a game.
Yes, it is.
It's not bad enough to get you forced out of E3.
It's really bad.
It's not the worst David Cage game.
Okay, that's like saying that, like, if I dug a hole and put the bar under, like in the hole, oh, you could definitely lower the bar. You could just dig more.
You could.
Just remember, that game works. You can play it and it will do game-like things.
That's the worst thing about it. If you put it in, it plays. If it didn't work, we'd all be saved.
Anyway, that game, or David Cage, was not there this year.
Thank
not
fuck.
So, I guess we'll go very quickly over conferences, since no one else watched them. Microsoft conference. Anyone learn anything about the Microsoft conference other than Cyberpunk? Because we'll get to that at the end.
No.
Okay. Yeah. Halo Infinite. That's happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. People were excited about that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. More Halo, guys. More Halo.
I've never played a Halo game in my
Master
life.
Chief.
Well, it's all coming to the PC, because
yeah.
Why bother doing it on your console when you could just put it on a PC and actually sell copies on Steam?
And I will definitely be buying the Master Chief Collection, and then when Reach comes out, I'll be picking Reach up to start off that Master Chief Collection to play on PC the way that Halo should meant to be played.
I mean, I might, but just because I've never played Halo.
It's good. Well, Halo 1, 2, 3... ODST and Reach are good. Everything after that, when it was no longer Bungie but became 343, that's why Halo Infinite exists, because they're soft rebooting it.
I thought there were only 5 Halo games.
You're not even counting the real-time strategies?
The two real-time, Halo Wars and Halo Wars 2.
Yes.
There were real-time strategy Halo games.
Yeah, made really by the studio that made Age of Empires.
Oh, I might actually be interested in those actually.
They're really good. Well, the Halo games are good. There's a reason that they're like the thing that sold Xboxes.
I know.
Is they actually made
good
games.
I know they have Cortana in it, and she's big sexy.
Well, up until the end of 4. Mm. Which is why they're rebooting the franchise softly. In a sort of way, because everyone went, we don't like Halo 5. Where's Cortana? Where's Master Chief? And I'm like, Halo Infinite? And I was like, we forgive you for now. So until that comes out, they're on, you know, spotty ground. But I don't remember anything else that happened at Microsoft, so it can't have been important other than... Oh, wait, there was a really weird moment I want to point out to do with Gears of War.
They attacked, and we lost everything. Everything except the need for revenge. This might look like a surrender, but it's not. It's an invasion.
Not the Gears of War game itself, Gears 5, I think it is. I don't know what number we're on.
Oh, no, they just renamed it Gears of War, didn't they?
No, I think it's actually got a number.
Yeah,
oh,
five.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 5. So that happened, but then they were like, oh, and it's got a multiplayer horde mode thing. I don't even know if it's a horde mode. Just a multiplayer mode that's got all these elements to it, and they talked about that a little bit, and then we'll have these people play it for your amusement, which we saw a bunch of wrestlers, including AJ Styles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
and then, but they were under the stage in like a little chamber thing that looks like spooky.
That's
and
the
stuff.
Most E3 thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, but this is not the weirdest thing. The weirdest thing is that they talk about that, said they were going to have these three wrestlers sit and play Gears of War 5 in this multiplayer mode that they've got a three-person thing going on, and then immediately cut away from the dungeon that they were in and never returned. AJ Styles is still under a stage.
They're holding him hostage until Nintendo agrees to put Master Chief in Smash.
Never watched any of that gameplay. They just went, hey, look, wrestlers. And then, bye. There's a Pop Funko version of Gears coming out, too. Look at this. I was like, I mean, I don't mind that we're not watching it, but are they okay? Do we need to send help?
No. They're holding them hostage until Nintendo agrees to put Master Chief in Smash.
I don't think Nintendo care about AJ Styles.
That's their mistake.
Yeah.
They will be there forever.
So those were the other things that happened at Microsoft that I remember-ish, but that no one cares about, because obviously Keanu Reeves was there, and CD Projekt Red was there, and Cyberpunk's happening, and yes, I shouldn't pre-order things, but I really want to.
Yeah, you do remember when they announced their new console.
When we think about the future of gaming, it's not just PC, it's not just console, it's not just mobile. It's really all of the above.
Xbox is all about choice. We're investing in technology all throughout the game stack.
The games you want with the people you want on the devices that you want.
And for us, that starts with our next generation console.
We don't want to build just another console. We truly want it to be transformative.
More immersion, more exploration, more detail.
So how do we make it easier for people to get into the game, to stay in the game?
No. I heard the words Project Scorpio. I went, what's that? And it went, something about Xbox. I was like, okay. Back to what I was looking at.
Yeah.
Scarlet, is that it?
Yeah.
See, I can't even remember the name. Marketing fail.
Scorpio was the previous one.
Oh, was it?
But Briggy, it can do so many polygons. It can do so many polygons.
So can my PC.
8K.
Which runs Microsoft Windows.
They're just making up numbers now. They're just going to be like quintillion K.
I'm going to wait until we get to 64K. Then we can get our Mario 64
This is
remake.
Like when the fucking bit wars were going on, and it was like, we're 32-bit. We don't need to sell our console to you because we're 32-bit. It's like we're 8K, we're 32K, we're 64K, we're so many Ks.
Blast processor.
We have every single Kardashian in our console.
Anyway, Cyberpunk.
I hate it.
Excited?
Yes.
Excited?
Yes.
I know you're not.
No. I'm the person who's just here to be an asshole who's like, oh, this looks like bad Cyberpunk.
I like the look of Cyberpunk. I like everything we've heard about Cyberpunk with them having their own actual soundtrack being made for it. Not like a soundscape. That'll be a separate thing that will also be in the game. But it will actually have radio stations with a completely 100% brand new recorded songs for that world.
Yeah.
I am, as a music nerd and as a Cyberpunk fan in general and Keanu Reeves fan, all about this is ticking boxes. And I like to make a character and really, all I've ever wanted since 2011 is a game that's kind of like Skyrim in some sort of way, but not fantasy. And I feel like I'm getting that and significantly more with Cyberpunk. I enjoyed the more recent remakes of Deus Ex, not the second one, the first remake of the first new game that continued. Human Revolution, whatever the fuck you are good. Mankind Divided. Cyberpunk 2077 might
It's 2020.
Be No, it's 2077.
No, it's 2020. It's the RPG tabletop.
Yeah, this is set.
Oh, they changed the name.
Oh, it's because it's after.
Yeah.
Oh, I've just been calling it Cyberpunk, so I didn't know.
Yeah, no, we've gone into the future.
Everybody
the future.
Just calls it Cyberpunk, and I'm like, that's like naming like Lord of the Rings fantasy.
They can't call it Cyberpunk 2020 because that's the year it comes out. And then it's not the future. It's just a weird alternate present. So that's, it still has to be the future.
So it's just like every piece of cyberpunk fiction ever written.
Yeah, but they can't. It's that then it would be like an EA sports game with the year at the end of it. So they can't have 2020.
They just have one every year. Well, yeah. I mean,
next year is 2021.
I mean,
2K21.
To be fair, my opinion, having read a lot of interviews and stuff with, and seen a lot of footage, is that it does feel a bit like they're kind of just churning it out. So
I don't feel that's true in the slightest. They've been working on this for 7 years now? Yeah. Is it seven?
Yeah.
Eight, maybe.
What
Eight
a waste.
Years. No, not even slightly. I like all the stuff we've seen in the gameplay that CD Projekt Red have gone over showed that those choices that you make in that game have long-lasting effects that alter the course of how the city plans out.
I know I'm going to have to justify why I'm so bored. I'm not even like angry at it. I'm just bored by it. And I think a lot of it is that I've played a lot of really interesting sort of much lower budget takes on cyberpunk in video games recently. You know, I've been playing some of the Shadowrun games, which I really enjoy. I played Transistor again recently, like, which is a really interesting post-cyberpunk game that is much lower budget for, and the thing is, every interview I read with them and every bit of gameplay footage that I see, it's incredibly like high production values. It's incredibly slick. It's very like intricate. It's very much like that Red Dead Redemption 2 of like, look how many interlocking systems that we've managed to get. And all of it, as somebody who is like very deeply invested in cyberpunk as a genre and like what comes after cyberpunk and so on, it's just, it feels so much like they looked up the Wikipedia article on the genre of cyberpunk and maybe read Neuromancer. And I just, there's nothing interesting or new or modern about it. It feels, so cyberpunk as a genre is not stuck in its original incarnation, but Cyberpunk 2077 feels as though it hasn't gone beyond the stuff that was available in the sort of 80s and early 90s. But at the same time, like, I really enjoy the settings and stuff in the actual tabletop RPG, which is obviously Cyberpunk 2020, because apparently it wasn't good enough a name for them. But at the same time, from their interviews, the stuff that they're saying sounds so generic. I'm like, listen, the tabletop RPG has the wildest fucking shit in it, and I have no faith from what they've said about the project that it's going to have that wild shit in it, or from the gameplay trailers. It just feels like, it feels like an incredibly high production value, generic open world kind of look how much we could put into it. I don't need it to be the biggest game ever. I don't need it to be beautiful. I don't need it to have a million radio stations. I need it to do something interesting. And it just left me so cold so far. And I feel bad because everybody else is super excited and Keanu Reeves is in it. But I just can't get into it. I just can't. And Briggy's just like, you're wrong.
I'm not going to argue on that. That's how you feel.
Yeah.
But I feel that you're looking for the wrong thing out of this.
But that's what
based entirely just being called cyberpunk. There's nothing wrong with it being stuck in the trappings of early 80s and 90s cyberpunk genre and not doing anything new. Because apart from me and you and a handful, you know, globally of other people, this is going to be a lot of people's first introduction to the idea of cyberpunk.
The thing is, like, even like if you go back to William Gibson, like William Gibson did not stay in 80s William Gibson. William Gibson's cyberpunk, in terms of his writing and what he did with it, even outside of like novels and stuff, like it progressed, because the whole point of cyberpunk as a genre is arguably progression. And there's been some amazing work done with cyberpunk as a genre, including in video games, in the past sort of 5 to 10 years. Like, there's been some amazing stuff that's really interesting and innovative, and I'd love to see people's first introduction to cyberpunk be that really cool stuff.
I think you only appreciate the really cool stuff when you've had the baseline. I think for a lot of people, for the mass general populace, they need this baseline. Hell, I would like a refresher in this level of baseline. I don't want to get... there's a place for the new and weird stuff, and that's usually indie, because you can pump it out faster and you can fail more.
The thing is, I think a lot of people's baseline is actually going to be that they made a really popular new Blade Runner movie that did some interesting things. And so I don't think that a lot of the general public actually does need an introduction, because I think if we didn't have that new Blade Runner, it was 2048, I can never remember the year. I'm bad at numbers.
Blade Runner 2048, yeah.
I feel like if we hadn't had that movie and if it hadn't been a huge success, then you might have a point, but we did have that movie. And I appreciate that they were making the game before that movie came out, but we've kind of gotten to a point where it's like the mainstream has caught up. Cyberpunk is having a real renaissance at the moment.
You're at two different audiences, though. Like, that film-going audience might not have as much overlap as we expect with gamers that are willing to buy CD Projekt Red games. A lot of those gamers didn't, probably,
but then
were super into the fantasy, especially like the weird Polish fantasy that we get from The Witcher. That's become way more popular and sold way more of those books now because they exist. This is a good intro into that realm
but then
of genre.
The thing about that kind of thing is, I think if you're enough of a nerd to be interested in weird Polish fantasy and you are dedicated to following a specific game development studio, you probably have a decent baseline in cyberpunk anyway, just because it's so incredibly influential within nerdy circles. I feel like there's nothing wrong with introducing people to a new genre by assuming that they are willing to come on board so long as you make a good product. And I think that if you take that baseline as a fact, you can go into the weirdest stuff immediately. And I don't know, I'm really cold with, like, they're talking in interviews about how, like, oh, well, you know, it's cyberpunk, so it's all about how, like, getting surgeries makes you, like, less human. And I'm sat here thinking, cyberpunk hasn't been about that shit for a very long time. Now it's about how fucking interesting it is to consider, like, the limits of the human. And I'm like, I don't want to go back to the 80s where everybody was really panicking about how, like, getting a heart transplant made you less of a human being. Like,
yay, back to the 80s.
We did that. We did that in the 80s. The 80s happened. It was fine. We moved on from that.
The 80s were awesome. We're making a comeback. Anyway, we have to cut the short because we have to go through so much more.
A lot of feelings.
Yeah. I think it's going to be good. You don't seem to agree. We'll find out when it comes out. Yeah. I'm super looking forward to it. I'm going to fucking pre-order that game because I can't wait to do all the open world stuff and explore what they've put down. CD Projekt Red are great at making stories, especially your stories, even when Geralt is meant to be a book character that you meant to know his story, because the way they set up The Witcher, everything always felt still more personal. So I've got every belief that this is going to have a similar, like, way to doing it, where you're going to have a great idea of, like, creating your own story, especially with the trailers they've shown so far and the alternate paths you can take. I'm interested to see where I end up in that city and in that realm they've created.
The main thing is, you're breathtaking.
Exactly. Anyway, Microsoft, moving on. I'm pushing Bethesda to the end.
Also Microsoft, new Borderlands.
There are six sirens in the universe. I used to be one of them. My name is Lilith, and I need you.
Gearbox.
And there was something else.
Fell out with Gearbox since Duke Nukem Forever.
I mean, the only interesting thing about Gearbox at the moment is that they're currently entrenched in like five different fucking battles on every front because of Randy fucking Pitchford.
Oh, Randy Pitchford. You were meant to be the chosen one.
And then he was just such a dick.
Yep.
There was something else, but I can't remember what it was. But there was another like fairly large franchise that got a new update, but...
Skipping forward, I'm doing this in no particular. I was going to do it in actual run order of stuff, but I want to put Bethesda at the end. So, moving on. Square Enix, didn't watch it. Don't care. Final Fantasy VII is getting remade, I guess.
Also, the one thing I will say about that is, you know how they're going to do it in parts, and like each part is going to be part of the Final Fantasy VII game? They're apparently now claiming that each part is going to be as long as the original Final Fantasy VII. Nobody asked for this.
And yet... people are clamoring for it that aren't me.
I did watch it, and I admit I never played Final Fantasy VII, but all of my friends that like Final Fantasy VII sort of watched it and went, we didn't really want you to do it like this.
Have you seen the combat system?
Is it like 15?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I care a little bit more now.
The thing is, though...
I mean, it's like the one Final Fantasy game that I like that no one else does.
The thing is, cool. It's not even... like, all of my friends that are big Final Fantasy VII fans who were previously really hyped about it, mostly they're looking at it and they're like, oh, you're really milking this. You didn't need to expand it. Like, because they're like, Final Fantasy VII is a well-paced game with lots of content. We didn't need, like, six 40-hour remakes.
It's not
we need,
good.
Like, one...
That's the biggest lie. Ooh, Seven's not that good a game.
I'll tell you what, though. I'm very excited because the one that I have always wanted to play is Final Fantasy VIII, and they are bringing that to the Switch.
Did it just come out on Switch already? Did that happen? I feel like that just happened.
I think it came out not long after, so
eight,
it might already
eight or
be
or
out.
9 just hit the Switch.
Yeah, and that is like Final Fantasy VIII, because apparently they like lost the masters or something. Like, it's the one that's really hard to fucking like remaster. And so that's the only one I've ever been interested in.
Oh, you'll be a big Squall fan. I already know.
This is the thing. It's like, that is the Final Fantasy game that is very clearly made for me. So I'm happy about that. I don't care about the remake. I guess there are people who are really overanalyzing Tifa's boobs on the internet. There's people
Crystal
who are,
boob.
There are people who are just really mad that she's wearing a sports bra and don't understand how boobs work.
Did Square Enix do anything that I didn't hear about other than Final Fantasy VII?
Probably, but the only thing I remember is Final Fantasy VII.
I guess they exist.
Is there another Just Cause game happening? I don't know.
There is. Is there? Four.
Sweet. No, four's already out.
No, okay, there's an update to four.
Then. Oh, okay. So, yeah, Square Enix, moving on.
Unfortunately, they still exist.
Devolver Digital didn't announce a lot of stuff, so we can't go over too much. Fun presentation, though. Hella cool to watch. My friend Pedro just came out the day that we were recording this podcast. Was one of the few things on there. I'm like, yes, great, good idea. This is a dumb, fun game. Enter the Gungeon Arcade Cabinet, sweet. And something called Devolver Bootleg.
Savvy, forward-thinking consumers like yourself should find their way to DevolverBootleg.com, which wholly unironically forwards to a Steam page for Devolver Bootleg. From there, potential users will have the opportunity to pay a small fee to download the Devolver Bootleg Launcher. Once the download is complete, users like you can select from a wide variety of off-brand versions of our most popular titles. Feel the delight wash over you as you and your real gamer friends enjoy titles like Enter the Gun Dungeon, Hotline Milwaukee, Shooty Boots, Ape Out Junior, Luke Trouser 6, and many more right from the Devolver Bootleg Launcher.
Which was a genius idea to make shit copies of their own game and sell them in an 8-in-1 pack on Steam called Devolver Bootleg, including things like Enter the Gun Dungeon and Hotline Milwaukee.
Yes, I saw the Hotline Milwaukee one and I thought it was a joke.
Nope. It's a new way of getting that income because they want to make money and they don't care how they make it, ethically or otherwise, and I love them for it. Devolver are genius.
But also, it's like so many streamers are going to get so much fucking traction out of those games, so they will have their niche.
Hell yes. Who else? PC Gaming Show happened. Man Eater happened on it. Some other stuff happened. It wasn't the best presentation. Baldur's Gate 3 is coming. We saw a CGI trailer.
I did not expect that to be announced.
Well, they already announced it before E3 by like 3 or 4 days. But yeah, they got an actual trailer at the PC Gaming Show. And the one thing that they could put in that trailer that would make me hype and happy for it was the thing that they put in there. Mind Flayers. Or Illithids, if you're a D&D person out there. Illithids are in the trailer. They're my favorite kind of enemy. They are just star children from the Cthulhu mythos.
I mean, I do think that like it's great to see like traditional sort of computer role-playing games, CRPGs, sort of coming back more. I mean, obviously we had the indie renaissance with them, like with Pillars of Eternity and stuff, but it's interesting to see the bigger, sort of more traditional developers sitting up and taking note and being like, yes, some of us do want those back.
The Baldur's Gate 3 devs are made up of people that worked on Planescape Torment.
Yeah. Which means that it will probably be good because... Yeah. I don't know if anybody's heard, but Planescape Torment is one of the best games of all time.
We know. moving on from that show.
When are we getting Planescape Torment 2?
Never. We're getting Baldur's Gate 3 instead. moving on, what have I not said in between? So the big two I'm saving, like Nintendo and Bethesda. Did anything else actually happen either? Ubisoft!
Yes.
Yes, Ubisoft.
With their towers.
Which was 90% Tom Clancy games.
Are you sure it wasn't 90% towers?
No. But I did actually... there's two things in the Ubisoft presentation that I actually did enjoy. One... Rob McElhenney, who plays Mac on Always Sunny, and writes Always Sunny and whatnot, he's doing a TV show with Ubisoft, like supporting them.
What?
Yes, and it's about a game development studio that runs an MMO called Mystic. Is it Mythic Quest or Mystic? One of those is a real game, one of those is a fake
Mystic
game.
Quest is real.
Okay, Mythic Quest is the name of the TV show.
First debuted, MQ was hailed as a masterpiece. Now played in 20 different countries on 6 continents, it's the biggest massive multiplayer role-playing game of all time. And today, they find themselves on the precipice of their first major expansion... Mythic Quest, Raven's Banquet.
Which is awesome, and he's got a bunch of other people in it from Always Sunny. Danny Pudi's in it from Community.
Oh, I like Danny Pudi.
And Rob himself plays a creative lead, which has got with an ego the size of a bus. And so the little trailer showed...
So a creative lead.
Yeah. Well, he did say as well that he's about to get his ass kicked by people backstage because there's a lot of creative leads back there when he was making that joke on stage.
Okay, but...
As a Sunny fan,
yeah,
okay, I want to watch this. And they've worked with Ubisoft so they can get it like accurate, but still, you know, do their regular Always Sunny level of just making it hilarious.
I'll just watch something that has Danny Pudi in it.
Yeah, and it's got the guy who plays Rickety Cricket from Sunny in it as well. I'm hoping Charlie Day shows up at some point, because Charlie Day was apparently, like, consoles.
Well, and he's a massive nerd, so he will.
Yeah, and it's some of the Sunny crew that are doing it, so that's going to be cool. And then the other thing was, I have never cared... at any point in history about Watch Dogs or Watch Dogs 2, but now I care about Watch Dogs Legion.
London, Had a good run there for a while. Now it's all riots, bombings, and people thrown in cages like animals. Oh, and who could forget the killer robots everywhere? So yeah, that's all gonna be...
Is it because there is the kick-ass granny in it?
Yeah, your nan's gonna fuck shit up.
To be fair, Watch Dogs 1, I aggressively dislike. Like, it's shit. It is the worst stereotype of, like, generic, grimdark, a high production values, just schlock. I did hear that Watch Dogs 2 took the exact opposite direction and is quite fun, but I didn't sort of trust it enough to actually get it. And then I sort of looked at Watch Dogs 3 and I'm like, oh, they're really running with this. Like, your nan's going to fuck you up.
Have you seen any of the gameplay trailers for it?
Yes.
Yeah, so you must be pretty excited yourself as someone that goes to London quite regularly to see how accurate the actual architecture is. Because Camden Market...
It looks like... Wow. They very clearly went and took a lot of fucking photos.
So the idea is you can play as any of the NPCs as characters because there's all different kinds of groups being involved in this one. I don't care about the storyline. If you can play any NPC, if I can play that entire game as Helen... which is the nan that pops a cap in a policeman's ass.
I'm pretty sure you can.
I will just play that entire game as her.
Yeah, no.
Because I want Watch Dogs, your nan edition.
It's basically just that fucking movie Red where Helen Mirren is an incredibly badass old woman, and I want it.
But it's when she's hobbling around with a gas mask on and just taking down a security guard. I was like, I'm down.
I'm incredibly in favour of this.
Yeah. So that was Ubisoft. I think they announced some other stuff that was like 90% Tom Clancy's name above it.
It was just, they just announced that they're building real towers now.
Me and Tom did make the joke while we were watching it that when they did the Uplay Plus, which is their subscription service, which access everything, we're like, do you think that that interface will have a drop down that's like Tom Clancy, like 98 games and other, which is everything else?
I think you'll find they've got at least so many Assassin's Creed and so many Far Cry's.
Biggest upset for me in the Ubisoft one is that despite all these Tom Clancy games happening, all these games with Tom Clancy's name on them, there's still no Hawks 3. Mm-hmm. And I love the Hawks games. Because I like Flight Sims.
See, most people that I knew were just kind of like, where's the Rainbow Six? That's the only thing I care about.
Oh, Flight Sims. Going back for a second. Microsoft. They're bringing Flight Sim back.
Yes.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Microsoft Flight Sim. We're getting a brand new Microsoft, not the Dovetail games on, actual Microsoft Flight
Sim.
But
will you be able to access it from Excel?
Maybe. We don't know.
If we can access it from Excel, then I'm in, because then I can play it at work.
I'm not super happy about getting Flight Sim from Microsoft. What I'm happy about is the potential that since they're bringing back the Sim games, we might get a new Microsoft Train Simulator, and then I'll be happy.
Yeah, but they'll do it like the modern Train Simulator, isn't it? It'll all just be DLC.
Oh, God.
I've already spent too much money on Train Simulator.
We don't talk about that.
We don't talk about it.
How much DLC do you own, Briggy?
Like a quarter.
What?
That might not seem a lot to anyone that doesn't know Train Simulator.
There's a lot.
But the combined DLC for...
It's like $2,000.
It's more than $2,000.
Let's not talk about it.
I think the current DLC, if there's no sales on it, is about $8,000.
Oh my God. So you've spent, I don't even want to think about
it. On sales? Okay. Over many years. Anyway, moving on.
But to be clear, you've definitely spent over 100 quid.
Oh yeah. I needed the mallet. I definitely need more English roots. Fuck those American roots. Anyway, Nintendo.
This is the bit that I'm excited about.
Yeah, I'm saving Bethesda for last. Because I know what I want to talk about. Nintendo, stuff that got announced, Luigi's Mansion 3 with Guigi.
Hello? Mario.
Luigi's invited to a gorgeous hotel with Mario, Peach, and the others. Oh, lucky him. Luigi's Mansion 3.
Yes.
Luigi, you were...
He has been confirmed as edible.
Oh,
yeah, no, somebody actually... it just came up in one of the translated interviews. Apparently, he's fully edible. I'm not making this up. I'm so unhappy.
Amazingly horrifying.
That I was grossed out to the
game. Although, both me and Ashley are now excited that we could play as Pink Luigi.
Yes, definitely.
Well, they'll be fighting over that. Pokemon Sun and Moon, not Sun and Moon, whatever the name is.
Sword and Shield.
Yeah. They have dogs.
Hmm.
Pokemon England. Oh, I do like Sword Doggo.
One thing that I will say is that they basically told everybody, look, there's too many Pokemon. We can't have every single fucking Pokemon. So we're going to cycle out some of the ones that aren't as popular, which is reasonable because they are now 3D rendered.
Yeah.
And like, I would like for the devs to not die. And then the internet lost its shit. And quite a few people on Japanese Pokemon Twitter, which is like a thing that I see sometimes, were like, oh, you could probably just do it in 5 minutes. So there was a tag on Japanese Twitter where you had to try and render and animate a Pokemon in 5 minutes. And that tag was worth it because it was literally just all of these fucking people spending 5 minutes attempting to do like fucking Arceus and just like, oh my god. Unfortunately I can't say what the tag was because it's in like katakana.
Why would you do Arceus if you got 5 minutes to render an animated Pokemon? Do Diglett.
I mean, the Diglets were also hilarious.
Do Voltorb.
The Diglets
it's a 2 minute job.
I mean, there's like 10 animation sets though, so they all just kind of jerk around the screen. But no, it was so funny.
So quick fire, moving on from Pokemon. What else happened before we get to the big hitters?
Oh, I wonder.
I know two things over this side of the table that are going to happen in a minute.
I wonder.
Witcher 3 coming to the Switch. We mentioned that earlier, but confirming it is part of the show. That's cool. I will probably buy that again to play it again on the go, Game Boy style.
I'll finally play it.
Definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No more Heroes 3.
No more. Oh.
Was today the 4th of July? If not, is the Empire striking back or what? Looks like things are gonna get weird today. Hey, see!
Travis Touchdown doing a fucking henshin.
Yeah.
I was like, is it a comrade? No, it's Travis Touchdown. It's even better. Yes, no more heroes. And there was one other thing before we jump into this. Dave Max Machina, we have a release date. Also Fire Emblem was there, but they showed no gameplay, just anime cutscenes. Is it a TV series now? I don't know.
But that's the only thing Fire Emblem fans care about. They're just in it for the dating sim.
No, before
like
the
you understand
before the
this, right?
Sim, there were old school fans like me that
shut
now
the
just
fuck
play
up.
XCOM.
We are there for the dating sim. I've never played Fire Emblem, but I know a lot of Fire Emblem fans,
and
they are so annoying. They are there for the fucking dating sim, and I know this because I have seen Twitter.
That's so annoying to hear someone go, I've never played Fire Emblem, but we're here for the dating sim. I'm like, I've played all the Fire Emblem, and I'm there for the tactical combat, which we're getting less of and less of every time
yes,
we get one.
Yes, because they worked out that they can just sell them as dating sims.
Firaxis, please release XCOM 3. I'm begging you. I need more tactical combat that doesn't have dating sims. If there's a fucking dating sim in XCOM 3, I will lose my shit.
Oh. Meanwhile, I'll buy it.
I'll
still buy it.
There are a lot of XCOM inspired games coming out. Like, really, like, not.
Well, isn't the Final Fantasy Tactics game not shows, aren't there?
Seen John Romero's 1930s gangster.
Oh,
yes.
XCOM game.
Yeah. Yeah, no, looking good. So we'll move on quickly because I know that this is where all the Nintendo time's going to go. And first, we're going to now. Sorry, James, not over to you first. Actually, I believe you owe some people some money. A lot of money.
Yes.
Is there a Tanuki tycoon out there looking for you right now?
Yes, and his name is Nook.
What's this about?
Animal Crossing.
Your attention, please. The Nook Inc. Getaway Package Charter Flight will soon be arriving at the deserted island.
Yes, I figured. But what's the money about?
It's the bells.
It's the bells.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. He's got you caught in like a debt trap.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, and all you got so far is a tent.
Oh, but have you heard about the redundancy?
Rossetti.
Yeah.
I know.
He's been made redundant.
But here's the thing. He hasn't been
reset your game.
He hasn't been made redundant. He's won. Because now you cannot save Scum. And so Rossetti has won.
Not just that, but every single profile on the Switch, from what we've been told now, will use the same island. So you can't have separate games.
Yeah.
If you create another save, you'll just have another character
basically
on the island.
They introduced autosave.
So does that mean that I'm never going to hear ever again?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Well, you say that, there'll probably be something that they've kept in secret.
He's probably going to work. It'll be on the island somewhere. They won't just get rid of Rosetti. He just won't. You just can't reset anymore.
That's very, very sad.
But no, he hasn't been made redundant. He's retired after winning.
Yeah. So how do you feel about the new Animal Crossing, Ashley?
Well, to say that the only reason that I bought a Switch was after watching E3 in 2019 and getting that first announcement trailer that Animal Crossing was coming.
That's fair.
It's happening!
It is. I am super stoked.
It looks so cute. I love the new art style.
They have paths.
They do.
They do have paths.
I mean, I pass over to Ashley because it's like her game that she's excited about, but I'm also pretty fucking stoked I'm gonna be getting that as well. I'm really looking forward to it. New Leaf was my jam.
I haven't played an Animal Crossing game since I used to play when I first got a DS, the DS one. Which one was that?
Wild World?
Yes, Wild World. That's the only one that I've played today. I really loved it, but I haven't sort of played it since I used to play that religiously. But I was looking at the trailer and I was like, it's time. I can get back into it. You know, this is something that I can play on my lunch break. I'm a grown-ass adult with a 9-to-5 job now, and I need something I can play in less than 45 minutes a day.
Animal Crossing tangent. I've just remembered wherever that save file exists for my New Leaf save. You know how you can make your own flags?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, no, I just remembered it's been so long since I've played that game that my flag is still JonTron.
Oh, no.
That now flag has been flying far too long.
Now you need to burn the cart ceremonially.
I think it got traded in.
Start a new game.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. It's okay. It. We will do an exorcism.
Again, I think the cart was traded in when I got my Switch.
Oh, so. No. Oh,
someone
no.
out there has JonTron's face on their flag.
They have exercised the cart.
I would hope so, yeah.
But anyway, we're getting crafting, which yes. is awesome because, like...
Mind crossing.
Exactly.
I mean, technically they had crafting on the GameCube one, but you need to use the GBA Advance and you had to go to the Advance Island, and no one played that game because it was on the GameCube, and it was that thing where it was like, yeah, I know we played it. No one really played it.
Yeah, no, you fucking nerd played it.
It was one of the two games that actually made sense to connect your SP to the GameCube for. It was that and the Tingle Tuner on Wind Waker.
Yeah.
The only reason to have that connector.
That's totally fair.
And the original Zelda Four Swords.
That requires having friends, and nobody who owned a GameCube had friends.
Excuse me, you could still play with the GameCube and the GBA link cable on your own.
Yeah, but that was Four Swords Adventures, not Four Swords.
Four Swords Adventures, but you can still play on your own with it.
Which is a different Zelda storyline.
Yeah, they're literally different games.
Yeah, Hyrule Historia confirmed.
Yeah. But anyway, point is you,
this is why
game.
We didn't have three friends to play with.
Oh, this would make a great tangent, unless we have anything else to say about Animal Crossing.
Go ahead.
So, Zelda, yeah?
Yes!
I can't believe this. Three Zelda games at E3! Right. Three Zelda games at E3! Illuminati confirmed. Half-Life 3 confirmed!
It's the three points of the Triforce. We did it, we found the Illuminati.
So we had Link's Awakening remake, that's coming.
Oh,
that
it still looks so good.
Toy Link looks cool, I want an amiibo. I mean, obviously, yeah, it's gonna be good. Like, why are we even talking about it? Just release it already. You know what, they did a release already. Cadence of Hyrule, which is possibly one of the best ideas that someone at Nintendo looked at a picture of me and went, he wants a game for him specifically.
I'm so glad to see Nintendo loosening like their sort of iron grip on their IPs to be like, hey, here's a weird indie developer that's got a great idea. Why don't we just license it to them? They make good games.
That's a sensible thing to say. The better thing to say is, oh my god, there's a fucking Zelda rhythm game. And
right.
It's good.
I really want to get that. I haven't got it yet because I have no money at the moment, so but bad. I will be buying it. It looks so good.
I've done two of the four bosses so far, playing as Link and just loving the fucking soundtrack. It's
and
so
like,
good.
This is the thing. Zelda games are known for their soundtracks, like a rhythm Zelda game. And also they're known for like, basically the 2D Zeldas, the top-down 2D Zeldas are all about positioning. So for a game like that, like it's literally perfect.
Shout out to the remix of Gerudo Valley because it's fucking awesome.
Oh my god. I'm trying not to spoil myself with the music because I am going to buy it.
Guitar work on that as well was done by Family Jewels, who's a YouTuber that I follow that does guitar that's done a lot of stuff. He was the guy that did the metal version of the Crypt of the Necrodancer soundtrack.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did that. So
they hired him
for the guitar. And there's vocals in there by, I can't remember the girl's name, Adriana something, who's also a YouTuber who I think is going out with Family Jewels, but she does a lot of covers for stuff that's metal online, and she does whatever vocal parts are on there. So they've actually got quite a lot of the community that were involved in Crypt of the Necrodancer doing Cadence of Hyrule.
That's awesome.
Which is a cool idea, because why not?
I love to see that for independent games, and it's the kind of thing that isn't possible if everything stays purely with Nintendo. But like when they license out to like smaller indie developers, you get to see that.
I'm so sorry, artists whose names I've forgotten involved in that, but clearly I will talk about you again in the future because fucking I love that soundtrack. And I'll put a link to whatever we can get soundtrack wise on the show notes. But the third thing about... Actually, no, there wasn't. Yeah, move on.
I'm going to kill you.
Breath of the Wild 2.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. Oh, I was so happy. So the story for me, I wasn't following E3 because, again, I'm a grown-ass adult with a fucking job and I was working overtime and knackered. But, like, I was checking Twitter at my desk. I hope my boss isn't listening to this. Like, 5 minutes before my shift ended and I went onto Twitter when it was announced and my entire Twitter feed was screaming and they were like, Breath of the Wild 2. So, of course, I was like, if the phone rings today, you're picking it up, colleague. And I sat down and I watched the trailer and I... nearly burst into tears. Breath of the Wild is like a really special game to me, and I never thought we'd get a direct sequel because it's so rare that we get like Zelda direct sequels. When we do, they tend to be like lower budget spin-offs. Like we got direct sequels to Wind Waker, but they were GBA games, for example. And obviously we have exceptions like Majora's Mask.
Thank you.
And that's the thing. The thing I was going to say is I always wanted them to do the Majora's Mask to Breath of the Wild as Majora's Mask was to Ocarina of Time. But I was like, it is kind of a one-off event in the series. Normally when you get those direct sequels, they are in the 3D games. They are the lower budget handheld ones.
We don't know for certain it's a direct sequel.
They have confirmed it in interviews.
Okay.
Trust me, I checked. And they have directly compared it to Majora's Mask. And the thing is, I prefer Majora's Mask to Ocarina of Time because I am me. And they've spoken a lot about how it's a sort of situation where basically because they've already got the assets and they can reuse the engine and they don't have to spend loads of time and money developing all the systems, they can do something that is... because the easy thing to do would just be to do Breath of the Wild, but again. But because they don't have to spend all the time developing the engine, they can do weirder stuff that is more experimental and interesting, which I think is a really good fit. And also, they said it's going to be darker than Majora's Mask. And Majora's Mask is like the darkest fucking game in the series.
They're
so
I'm talking about the gamma.
HD tingle in your face.
This is the bit where I get to... flip the script and be like, well, actually, I'm not super excited about it. I mean, I'm obviously going to buy it and buy the special edition for the Zelda whore.
You didn't
but you
like...
know what Breath of the Wild needs? A fucking storyline. You know what else it needs? More traditional Zelda elements in it.
But this is the thing.
It needs dungeons.
If there's one thing that Breath of the Wild 2, as a game that is reusing a pre-existing engine and is reusing pre-existing systems and assets, can do, it's be more story focused because they don't have to spend like 5 years working out how the fuck all of the systems work together. They can just kind of get on with it. And I think that the actual cinematic trailer that we got was sort of indicating the possibility of a stronger story.
Yeah, it didn't give much away because it still could have just been like a memory. Like
it could. But I do think that the fact that they chose to lead with it as opposed to Breath of the Wild, where they didn't. They led with gameplay.
Two things on my wish list for me to get hype about this. One, confirmation of Kojima-level cinematic moments.
You're like, not going to get that in a Zelda game.
We could, because they don't have to develop any more fucking assets. And two...
Tingle.
It is a 90-minute cutscene and Tingle's in it. I'm actually okay. You know what? I've got what I asked for. I've only got myself to blame at that point. Two, confirmation that they will remove weapon durability. Or give me the option to remove weapon durability.
No, they need to rebalance it, but they shouldn't remove it.
Weapon durability is the worst thing to happen to Zelda ever. And that includes the CDI games.
It was not very well balanced in Breath of the Wild, but I didn't dislike it as a concept. It's just, it needed to have like 3 times the length for every weapon.
It's straight shit. There's nothing I hate more about the, there's nothing I hate more about the combat in that game than trying to get into combat to find that after three or four swings, you gotta go switch to another weapon. Then you're constantly running around the map trying to find good weapons that you then hoard and never use because you're worried you'll lose your good weapons.
That's
it kills the game.
That's not how I play Breath of the Wild.
No, but you are one of like the 10 people that play the intended way Nintendo wanted you to do, and the rest of us just went, that's not Zelda. I don't like it.
You say that like Breath of the Wild didn't get rave fucking reviews.
It did initially, and then about a year later, everyone just went back and looked at it and went, actually, no, I don't enjoy playing it this way.
Did not see that.
There are
backlash.
More people enjoying it now on the very illegal and unofficial Wii U emulator where they can put the codes, the action replay codes in to just remove weapon durability.
I have to say, I think we run in different circles because I have seen a lot more like critical re-examination of the game, but I haven't seen that kind of backlash against it.
r/Zelda.
Okay, well, I don't go into fucking Reddit to get good opinions, Briggy.
I mean, it's just an echo chamber, so me and a lot of other people are like, it's fucking stupid. I want my weapon durability gone.
And tingle.
But Briggy, here's the thing. With Breath of the Wild 2, the main thing that we can all agree on is that the internet, despite Nintendo's best fucking effort, is just really thirsty for Ganon. They're so thirsty that they are getting water and pouring it on him and rehydrating him, and that is the important thing that we all got out.
Your side of the internet is that you retweet. My side of the internet is all about short tingle. Hair Zelda.
I mean,
and
okay.
There's one Paul over there somewhere. It's like, tingle.
Okay, to be fair... My side of the internet is also very excited about Short Head Zelda. But they're also deluding themselves into thinking Zelda might be playable this time. And I'm just like, listen, lower your expectations.
Stranger things have happened. Caden's viral. Anyway, that's Nintendo. We covered everything. Wait, no, we didn't. Because they've got new characters for Smash Brothers in the DLC. We're getting the hero from Dragon Quest. How about that?
Exactly. That's the one that everyone was waiting for.
You know what's really funny? My Twitter actually did care more about that than Banjo.
That's how you know that Twitter is wrong. It's Banjo-Kazooie! Yes!
The way they introduced that is the best.
Such a funny moment. And it's got to be Donkey Kong and those characters because they're also like Rareware characters.
Yeah.
Essentially at this point. And I was super happy about this as being a giant music nerd in the same way I'm always excited about new characters entering Smash Brothers that I like the franchise from, because that means we're going to get Smash Brothers remixes of music from Banjo-Kazooie. And if there's any just deity in this universe... That process will involve Grant Kirkhope.
Are they going to be doing a stage for him as well as just... I didn't actually see it yet.
Every DLC character gets...
That's what I figured.
Two stages? Yeah. No, it's one stage, isn't it, per character?
Yeah.
So this is going to be a Dragon Quest stage. It'll be a Banjo-Kazooie stage. I haven't actually played with Joker yet, so I don't know what his stage is like, because I don't play Persona, so I don't know who he is.
Yeah, I've never seen Persona. I know people freaked the fuck out about him being in it.
He shoots people.
There is someone else that I would like in Smash that does shoot people.
Is it Snake? Because he's already there.
No, we'll get to it.
Is it Bayonetta? Because she's there.
No, onwards to the Bethesda conference, where we'll bury the lead massively and start with Elder Scrolls Online. So, Elsewhere. That's Elsewhere, Ashley.
Wait, that's...
Elsewhere.
That still exists? I thought that was a joke.
Cat people. Cat people and Dargons.
Ah, yes, Bethesda's furry simulator.
So that's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Elder Scrolls Legends. Card game. That's got dragons.
I really fucking hate you right now.
Elder Scrolls Blades.
You've got a mobile game.
I feel like I wish that I had a camera to take a picture of Ashley's face for sort of just future generations to appreciate.
Sorry, I've loaded the cannon that is Ashley's rage about Elder Scrolls now. We're ready to go.
Oh, bless.
I spent the entire of that freaking presentation just screaming, where the fuck is Elder Scrolls 6? We heard it mentioned
What's? That's one more time than I expected.
I mean, be glad you aren't a Fallout fan.
Yeah, then you'd have fucking...
What, don't you like battle royales?
Oh, God, don't remind me.
And real human NPCs, which is an oxymoron if I've ever heard it.
Hey, don't you love how Fallout went from being like a scathing commentary on like nuclear sort of war and things to being like, what if we had a battle royale and you could drop a nuke and it was cool as hell?
Yeah, but they did play Ring of Fire.
Oh, well, if they did that, then I guess the inevitable sort of fucking degradation of a great franchise is just fine then.
I feel like we have to roll back a moment here and just go, so Elder Scrolls, actually.
I was trying to distract her. I was being a good friend.
Oh, no, I'm ready for this.
Oh, don't be mean.
No, we sat through this together.
You know what? There's just too much rage going on. Just give me 5 minutes, okay?
Okay.
So back to Fallout. So did you see the special release in terms of the DLC that they're pumping out? For it being the...
It's free for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah, oh, this
Wastelanders.
DLC. Yeah.
And then we got whatever the Battle Royale was called.
Oh, my God. I can't even remember. It made me so angry.
So, I mean, people that are playing that will enjoy that, I'm sure. It's fine. Yeah. Cool. Enjoy that.
Did you say people are playing that?
There's got to be at least like 10 people left in that community.
Well, no.
People are talking about
because
it.
If you get to too high a level, they fucking ban you.
To be fair, from everything I've heard, not being a player, so there's that caveat there, I've never actually played Fallout 76, but from those people that still exist and talk about it, especially on Reddit, that are like, you know, we know that this was shit at the start, it has gotten better, and the community is actually quite a cool community for themselves. They found themselves their game. It's not what everyone wanted, but it's what they are currently got and they're
issue,
happy with. So
the issue I've seen a lot of
people.
The issue I've seen a lot of people have is that those people who are trying to make it into something that it wasn't intended to be that is more interesting, they've kind of run up into a situation where any sort of interesting, unexpected gameplay things that come about because of the sort of like combination of mechanics that's unexpected, Bethesda will then just patch out like anything that allows like interesting social play in an online Fallout RPG. Bethesda will be like, well, we didn't mean for that to happen, so we'll patch it out. So I just saw a lot of people getting very frustrated with that.
Well, that was the thing with Fallout 4 was basically all of the good ideas came from mods from the previous games.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, well, we'll do an online game and we'll make it more structured. And people were like, that's not what people like about it. They like modding it. It's a Bethesda game.
It's like...
So we still have some stuff to cover there in Bethesda because they did quite a lot of stuff. And I know there's another thing that I'm going to talk about after this thing that James is going to talk about at length. And we don't have that much time left on the show. First of all, though, this was when we talked about Ghostwire Tokyo, which looks cool. We only got a CGI trailer. We don't really know what's going on, but with Ikumi's introduction to it, I was like, okay, she's adorable, this sounds interesting, and she was hyped for it. So.
You know what it reminded me of, the CGI trailer? You know, back in the PS2 era, where it was possible to have like a mid-budget, weird niche Japanese game that would actually get localized?
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me a lot of games from that era, and I think that's something that I really miss from that era, where because the cost was so much lower, it was more viable to take those sort of weirder foreign titles that were sort of mid-budget, like Fatal Frame, for example, that would never get made in the West, and nowadays are not usually localized. Like, that was the impression that I got, and I was kind of like, yeah, I'm up for that.
Something I forgot about. Need to roll back just for a quick fucking second with just mentioning localized.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest fucking surprise that I just forgot about until right now is in the Microsoft conference, we're getting Phantasy Star Online 2 in the West, officially courtesy of Microsoft.
I wish I'd put a fucking bet on that. I would have made so much fucking money.
Who fucking saw that coming?
Nobody.
No one. Not.
Bearing in mind, I still know people who play fucking Phantasy Star Online 1 on the Dreamcast on private servers because the second game is not fucking out in the West.
I know people that play Phantasy Star Online 2 and have been for years unofficially with an unofficial translation connecting through a VPN to Japan.
God, it's just...
Hi, Nuge, I know you're out there.
Just play the GameCube Special Edition where it has all of the missions unlocked for single player. And
that's
you never
not PSO2. That's PSO1.
Yeah.
No, it's PSO1. That's
episodes 1 and 2, but it's not PSO2. Oh, PSO2 is a different game.
Yeah. There is a Japanese...
PSO2 is
on...
a sequel to that.
Yeah, no. PSO2 is like the holy fucking grail of localization. Like,
character customization is fucking insane.
Let me put it this way. There are possibly more people who wanted this to be done than Mother 3.
There are more people that want this than Shenmue.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is how
no
much.
That, yeah, let's face it. Shenmue.
Shut the fuck up. I want Shenmue. I don't want it this way, but I wanted it.
I don't want that they're giving me, but I want it. What I want.
I wanted it to not be an incredibly shady fucking quote unquote crowdfunded thing that I really don't trust wasn't an embezzling scheme.
Hey. So moving on. Ghostwire Tokyo. Yeah, we talked about that. Deathloop.
This place isn't a paradise. It's a prison. Out here, we're trapped.
We're free.
In this endless, eternal cycle.
The most French fucking game I have ever laid eyes on.
Oh, I am a huge Arkane Studios fan. I love Dishonored, and I thought the Dishonored games only got better as they went along. I love Prey. I love that Arkane are like the closest thing that the sort of major, semi-major sort of AAA sort of studios have to doing things that I think are actually like genuinely daring on a high budget. And like, I'm just really hyped for it. I'm so excited.
It looks interesting, but I'm not a big Arkane fan. I never really got into Dishonored.
The thing about Arkane is they do updated versions of old school immersive sims. And the reason that they don't do very well financially is that they spend a lot of money and they pour it into like a niche that really only appeals to a certain segment of the population. But I am a part of that population. I love immersive sims and I am very excited. Because one thing I was worried about was Prey didn't do great financially. It was quite a good critical success and it sold quite a lot of units, but it also cost a lot of money to make. And Arkane are not a major, major studio, so they didn't recoup it. And there were a lot of rumblings that like, oh, well, single player games are kind of going out with major publishers. You know, Bethesda is moving towards multiplayer experiences because they're monetized. And everyone was kind of like, Don't fucking force us to watch Arkane be made to make a fucking terrible microtransaction multiplayer game. And God bless, God has shone upon me and has given me at least one more single player immersive sim fucking Arkane game. And I'm so excited.
Yeah, two things struck me about that. One is, like I said, and I'll keep saying it because it's fucking ridiculous, it's the most French game I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
And two, why does it remind me of Time Splitters?
Because that's what you want, really, but you're not getting it.
Yeah.
Stop reminding me.
We're never
going to. I remind myself.
No, yeah, no.
Time Splitters 2 is a fucking masterpiece.
I mean, you're never getting a sequel to that. Just stop.
We might.
No, you won't. No. But
four could happen.
I mean,
or a reboot.
I'm really interested to see how the core mechanic plays out. Like, one of the things that I think the Dishonored 2, Dishonored, Death of the Outsider, and Prey, so the more recent Arkane games did really well, is genuinely interesting, like, core mechanics that they build the whole game around. So with it being such like a high concept one, I'm really excited to see what they do with it. Obviously, we don't have a lot of information. We just know it's like Assassins and Groundhog Day loops, but I'm just like, oh, I want it. Give it to me.
And moving on, because we've got to keep doing short hot takes because we're running out of time. What else is actually left from this conference? Rage 2 DLC happening. Looks kind of fun. I didn't play Rage 2 yet. Apparently, it's not bad. Apparently, it's pretty good, but I didn't get around to it.
I forgot they made Rage 2.
Looks awesome. Like, genuinely fun. Apparently, it is genuinely fun, from what I've been told. It's just short. Short has been the only, like, major criticism I've heard.
I have no problem with short games.
Yeah, you'd probably enjoy Rage 2 because it's, like, 5 hours or less.
Yeah, that works for me.
That's the big criticism for Rage 2. Apparently, it's hella fun.
I am a tired, grown-ass adult. Well, I do not want games that are long anymore.
It plays like Doom. If Borderlands was Doom, which would easily be a better Borderlands, that's what Rage 2 is.
Yeah.
And that also brings us to the other id Software stuff, which is Wolfenstein Youngblood. Looks awesome. I need one of you to buy it because it's a co-op game.
Yeah.
Yes.
It probably won't be.
It's set in the 80s in an alternate universe where Nazis won and have continued to win. You play as BJ Blazkowicz's daughters who are trying to find BJ.
I mean, sounds...
It's got synthwave like music to it and stuff, you know, blasting Nazis in Paris in the 80s.
I mean,
sounds like a fun time.
To be fair, I always approve of blasting Nazis. Yeah. But also, I'm bad at co-op shooting games, so I won't buy it.
Fair enough. And before I go on to the thing that I clearly want to talk about, id showed off a new thing, which was not a streaming service, but an actual like piece of technology that will go into games, not just Bethesda published games, but could go into any games, which increases how well they can be streamed, regardless of how far away you are from your nearest data center. And they showed this by streaming through the what I've been told is pretty crappy Wi-Fi at E3. Onto
it's
a phone, playing Doom at 60 FPS with maximum settings being streamed from a computer. It looked fucking phenomenal. And thank God it worked on stage, because that could have been awful. But it's id, which means that technology-wise, it should be really good.
The thing is, though, if it was really in the E3 spirit, it definitely would have exploded.
Yeah. But at least they did ask the age-old questions, can it play Doom? And then should it play
yes.
Doom, which is great. And because I keep mentioning the words Doom, Doom!
Doom.
Yes, Doom!
Doom.
What you interfere with now is bigger than you can imagine. If you continue, you will bring down the heaven's wrath. It is written.
This was my biggest highlight of E3. I mean, it didn't show us anything we didn't already know. They just confirmed. We got a release date for it.
That's the thing. It's like, it looks fantastic. I will finally play Doom 2016 sometime, and I will buy this after I do. But it's also like, we did know that it was going to come, and we knew it was going to be good. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's been one of the oldest jokes in history, is we know that some things in life are just inevitable. Death, taxes, and a new Doom.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's coming.
But it is not always inevitable that the new Doom will be good, and this looks good.
So, Doom fans out there will have spotted cool things like the Marauder or Betrayer, which is using armor that looks similar to the Praetorian armor that the Doom Slayer wears. He's got a fucking energy axe, which looks similar to the Crucible Sword, which is from the end of Doom 2016, which we didn't get a chance to use in Doom 2016 for story purposes, which we clearly get a chance to use from what we've seen in Doom Eternal. And one of the other cool things was sound effects stuff, which I know that Phil really likes to hear me talk about technical things that aren't related to, you know, gameplay at all, but the sound effects in a whole section they showed in like an arena of actual fighting demons all sounded like they were pulled from Quake 3 Arena, which is fucking cool that they're pulling old id sound effects, be like, just fucking ram that more into Doom. What else can we get? Fucking throw that into. Like, all the enemies from Doom 2, the original Doom 2, are back. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah.
I never played Doom 2.
The icon of pain's in there. Like, the sin elemental.
I never played the original Doom 2.
Oh, my God. There's so many cool demons. There's new demons in there that didn't exist in any of the Doom games that look fucking cool, like, designed. The community had some really good fun with the... There's a really widescreen version of the art available that's the cover for Doom Eternal. And in the bottom right of that art, you can see the outline of a rabbit running away, which is a continual joke about the Doom guy / Doom Slayer. The only reason he's so angry is because the demons went to Earth and killed his rabbit Daisy. So it's like, maybe she's been resurrected because she's on the actual cover.
I hope
now.
That's in the game.
Oh, so good. But listen, we're going to go to heaven, we're going to go to hell, we're going to go to Phobos and Mars and Earth, and there's just cool stuff.
It's basically just like, we sold enough copies of the good new Doom game that we had the money to do everything we always wanted to do.
There's
with
more
a new
cool stuff in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's basically just like, we made the first one so that we could get the money to do this one.
And my personal favorite announcement, that wasn't an announcement at E3, but something I had to go and query at my local game store, was just how much money is the special edition of Doom, and is it coming out for PC? Because you never do a PC one, which is why I never buy them. The answer was, yes, it is coming out for the PC. You want the one with the helmet in it, don't you? I'm like, yes, I want the helmets and the lithograph and everything else. And is it an actual cassette tape with the soundtrack of both?
An actual cassette.
A genuine cassette tape covered in blood of Doom 2016 and Doom Eternal soundtracks.
Fuck, now you're making me want it.
Do you know how much it costs?
I don't want to know.
It will cost me 200 of my greatest British pounds.
Oh, God. Ouch.
And it's a £50 deposit. It's payday tomorrow.
Oh, fuck. Briggy.
I have a very difficult decision to make.
I would... That's
the helmet lights up.
I mean, but is the helmet actually worth £200, or are they just relying on you being willing
to
pay?
It's the helmet, the lithograph, the cassette tape. There's other things that I can't remember because they aren't a helmet. It's like a crate.
That's still probably like £100 max, though.
Yeah, but does it come with a canvas bag?
Here's the thing.
No.
Here's the thing, Briggy. If you wait, because it's not like it's limited edition, like limited to 500. If you wait a year, it will be £50 on eBay.
I was thinking that, and so I did a little bit of research, because Doom 2016 came with a Revenant statue, which is one. It's a skeleton with the rocket launcher.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he stands about as tall as the micro, whatever that measurement is for
Briggy,
all your listeners.
They can't see you.
Yeah, what's that, like 30 centimeters more?
About 35.
Yeah. So that came in the £120-ish special edition kit, and that thing on eBay still goes for 75.
That's less.
Yeah, but considering everything else that's in the box, if I still want the helmet, I'm still going to end up paying a hundo, if not more. People want the helmet. Okay. And I'm not guaranteed to get it.
You know what?
Being price gouged.
If you can't be given good advice, that's not my business.
Just pretend I like helmets. It's lots of train DLC.
Yeah, it's fine. It is Doom. I don't do this. I do this for Zelda and for Doom. There's not a lot of other things I'm willing to spend this much on, like special editions. There was no Arkham Knight special edition available for Batman for the PC, or I would have got the one with the statue of Batman in it.
Okay. Yeah, we're literally, for those at home who cannot see us, we're literally staring right now at cabinets full of extremely expensive Batman and Zelda merch.
So, there we go, guys. It was slightly over an hour, but we have managed to cover everything from E3 in just under 60-something minutes. Well done, us. That was the best one we've ever done. So,
now to sit on it for a year.
Yeah, yes. You'll never get to hear it.
Hello, 2020. It's lovely to see you.
How's Cyberpunk? How's Doom? I can't ask him how Breath of the Wild 2 is, because that's not coming out for another 6 years.
Yeah, no.
Elder Scrolls 6 is still not out.
But it's okay, because they finally worked out how to port Skyrim to a graphing calculator.
Also, Shenmue 3.
Yeah, it turns out that the game all along was basically just the trial for embezzlement that I'm pretty sure somebody's going to be going on.
What do you think we'll get first, Shenmue 3 or the remake of Cheetah Man?
We will get Half-Life 3 before that.
Don't.
Is that a sore spot?
Yeah.
I never played Half-Life. I just like mocking other people's pain.
Oh, it's got an amazing storyline. What, you've never played Half-Life?
I didn't used to have a computer that could run video games. I grew up as a console gamer.
Yeah, no, but you have a laptop now that can definitely play Half-Life 1.
Yeah, but...
And Half-Life 1 was on consoles.
Yeah, but I have...
Dreamcast.
I have other games that I'm playing. I just never got around to it. I'm sorry.
You need to play the best game ever made.
You know, I don't...
If this episode gets 1,000 James will be made to play the entirety of the original Half-Life. Not the HD remake.
Oh, no.
The original
Half-Life. Shut the fuck up.
We'll make a compromise. Half-Life Source.
I'll tell you
which
what.
Looks like the original, but I'll tell you what. Engine.
If we get 2,000 listeners, if we get 2,000 listeners, that's really a Dreamcast version. I'll play the fucking Dreamcast version.
Okay,
we have to get a Dreamcast.
I have one. I have a Dreamcast.
Okay.
If we get 1,000 listeners,
yeah,
1,000 listeners, James has to play Half-Life 1, Half-Life Blue Shift, Half-Life 2, Half-Life 2 Episode 1, and Half-Life 2 Episode 2, and then has to read the leaked script from Doug Lombardi of Half-Life 3.
If we get 10,000 listeners, I will personally kidnap the developers at Valve and we will force them to make Half-Life 3.
None of them work there anymore. Yeah. That's why we're never going to get it. No. If you play Half-Life 1, I won't even have to force you to do the rest. You'll seek it out yourself because it's phenomenal.
Briggy, I'm bad at first-person shooters.
Put it on
play
easy.
Overwatch.
You play Overwatch?
I play Overwatch as a healer.
Yeah, so is a...
Gordon Freeman's trying to heal something.
Yeah. With his crowbar.
Yeah, that's how you heal head crabs, right?
Yeah.
They're taking naps. Yeah.
He's just
after all the healing.
Yeah, he's gone to sleep. I'm sleeping. Dr. Fisher, no.
So basically I'm just a well intentioned nanny.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just need to play Half-Life. You'll enjoy Half-Life. So that was E3. Did we miss anything? We probably missed a lot, but I think we talked about the things that we cared the most about. I got to mention Doom. So, happy.
We got to dunk on Randy Pitchford. That was nice.
Yeah. We talked about Microsoft for a little bit there.
Yeah.
Ubisoft continued to exist against all our hopes and dreams.
Actually has to go home now and look over her shoulder constantly in case that Tom Nook shows up.
And
watch those corners.
He's always there.
Watch out. He's got his goons on you as well.
And meanwhile, I'm just sat here waiting for the next 6 years for when Nintendo finally gives me confirmation that we're not getting Hot Cannon.
No. Watch out for alpacas. You know, you play that one, cousin. They're always there. What's his sons called?
They're watching.
They're those nephews.
Timmy and Tommy.
Are they nephews?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're nephews.
Okay.
They're nephews.
They're nephews. They're definitely nephews.
Well, who cares? It's just
the Starbomb lyrics say sons, but... It's that Starbomb that could be completely inaccurate. It is Starbomb.
If it's not his nephews, if it is his sons,
tweet at us. Tell us.
Where's the mother?
Don't know. I mean, don't ask Tom Nook questions you don't want answered. You should know by now.
She was in debt.
Wow! And on that bombshell.
So that was the E3 podcast. We have brought you a game-changing, innovative podcast for the ages. One that will definitely not be forgotten before next year's innovative and game-changing podcast presentation.
Due out in 2023.
Coming directly to you at some point after Paul's edited it, and then we remember that it exists, and then I put it on Anchor, and you're listening to it right now. Time capsule. So for this E3 Geeks Co Extra Rate, we've been joined by editor Paul Stevens.
Tingle.
We've been joined by controversial opinionist James Kirk.
I mean, it's not controversial that rehydrated Ganon is hot, so at least I have that going for me.
And deplorably in debt, Ashley Pearson.
I need Elder Scrolls 6.
Give her dragons, Todd.
Todd
fucking
Howard.
Todd. Todd, come and have a fight with me in the fucking Domino's car park. I will get her dragons.
And that has been the E3 Direct. I have been your doom-slaying host, Matthew Briggs. Remember, this podcast is temporary, but doom is eternal.
Leave. We done? Now we're done.
Wait. Everyone say time. 3, 2, 1. Yeah.
That's a terrible audio spike. That is bad practice.
Oh, well.